There are some things that only God can do. So we are trusting and depending on Him and His Word this morning. Again, out of the sixth chapter of Daniel, I'll read verses 7 through 10 for your consideration. The Bible says, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now a king established the decree. Now the king established the decree and signed the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. On the basis of those verses, I'd like to use the thought of subject this morning. No matter what they say, don't stop praying. No matter what they say, don't stop praying. So we thank God for another opportunity to be in the house of God this morning and to share the word of God with the people of God, because it is a time that we should set aside to lift up the precious name of Jesus. And so I'm thankful to God this morning to be in the house one more time and to get up and feel bad, and as the day go on, feel better. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. It's just a good thing to know that you're in the hands of a mighty God. Most important thing is knowing that when we slumber and when we sleep, we don't never know whether we're going to wake up the next morning or not. We wake up, it is what it is, and you do the best that you can. And so I thank God for he shows me time and time again that he is God. And there is no power greater than the power of a loving God. I thank God this morning. It's in my heart this morning just to give a word of praise to the Lord and to thank him for his mighty hand and for how he's touched our loved ones. And so glad to see my brother in the house this morning. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. So glad that he's in the hand of a mighty God, and he's been going through trials and tribulations, and he may be having a bad day right now, but in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, he is still worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. See, when you love one another, you can just thank God for the goodness and how God touches somebody else. Don't be so selfish to think that it's all about you. Hallelujah. Now look and see Bernice back in the house, and she's been going through this morning. God is a mighty good God this morning. He is a healer and he is a keeper. One day you might be up, that same day you might be down, but the same God that sits high and looks low, he watches over you. Sister Mary back in her spot this morning. Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah to the name Jesus. She must have had a good morning this morning. Hallelujah. Got that smile on her face and feeling the praises of a mighty God. That encourages my soul this morning. Because I've seen the times, just like last week, she made it, but she just sort of creeped in and she just sat down as soon as she got in. But God gave her the strength to get back in her place this morning. Somebody ought to give God some praise in this house this morning. When you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord God had done, I believe we owe God a praise this morning. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. God has done something for every one of us this morning. Every one of us. Even though that are well and everything is going fine, you better thank God that it's going fine. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just brought you a message this morning. No matter what they say, don't stop praying. Don't stop trusting. Don't stop moving toward the mark. For you got to know that it's between you and the love and the power of God. And that God I talk about has blessed us and shown us his grace and his mercy one more time. Allowed us to assemble ourselves here in this place of worship on this first Sunday of February, the month that we celebrate Black history and we remember and we enlighten people of all the things that our people that before us has done. Black Americans have contributed to make our world what it is today. And so I'm thankful even to Sister Vivian for putting inserts into our bulletin and to let us know some things that maybe we did not know. You know, there are times that we think we know it all, but you don't know it all. I don't care how smart and intelligent you are, how many degrees you may have, there are things that you don't know. And I don't care how long you've been on the Lord's side, that don't mean you know it all. I've been preaching for a mighty long time, but there's so much in this word that I don't know. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that I don't know, but when I need to know it, I serve a God that will let me have an understanding. And out of all that we need, all that we do, we got to get an understanding. We should be grateful this morning to have come from such strong roots. And despite all of the hardships and the struggles that our ancestors have endured and suffered, but yet they still prevailed against all odds. We come from a strong heritage, and because of that, we have every right to hold our heads up high. Many doors have been closed in our faces, but at the same time, now we're living in a time where even though one door closed, another door will open. There are times when even as we've come such a long way, you still have to prove yourself just because of the color of your skin. But don't let that discourage you this morning. Don't let that stop you from trying to reach your dream. And if you got a dream, you just keep on trucking. Keep on trying to get the thing that you have in mind to do and know that the God that you serve, he is able to do what nobody else can do. When there's something before you and you want it from God, the Bible declares that you have not because you ask not. And so when you ask, you can't ask amiss, meaning that you can't ask wavering. You can't ask God for something with doubt in your mind. You got to trust that despite the obstacles that may get in your way, that God will see you through. Throughout this month, we were here on the television and in our schools and churches and the radio. All of our interactions, one with another, are the facts about the contributions that our people have made. I'm so glad to have come from a strong heritage. I'm so glad this morning that I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I grew up a poor young boy with not very much, but early in the morning, Charlie, we didn't have nothing else. Mama would fix some hot grits. Them hot grits helped me walk on to school, and I had something in my body. Even sometimes if you didn't have meat, at least you got something to fill your gut up so that you could get where you could get a little education, because we had people that realized that it's all about the thing that we can do one for another. I thank God this morning for coming from a family that realized that we got to unite our forces together and we got to help one another. Anybody in here ever had to get in and two families in one house? And somebody walk around, they begin to wonder, how in the world are they standing there? Just two bedrooms in there, and they got about five or six people up in there, seven or eight folks, but everybody was happy. Everybody ate, everybody had some joy, and sometimes I had a kind of family that we even allowed strangers to come in. And they were treated just like family, and they stayed there long enough to where they were just like our family. You got to learn how to teach your children that even though you are blessed and you got some things that you can be proud of, don't get too proud and forget where you come from. Some of our young folk have had it made so good that they don't realize the struggles that you had to go through when you were young. So you got to teach them and educate them to know that it hadn't always been like this. It hadn't always been the fact that mama and daddy had a job. Sometimes there was just one worker in the house. And we got to understand that we celebrate Black History Month. Don't forget where you come from. Don't get so bougie that you think, because now that you can have anything that you want, and you can have steak any day of the week and lobster and go out to the seafood house, there's still some folk eating bologna and pork and beans. Am I talking to anybody in here? Wasn't nothing to open up a can of pork and beans and fix you a bologna sandwich and be happy. Now we're so selective. Told you, when I get to let God use me, I start feeling better. There are times when you can allow the Spirit of God to help you forget about your troubles, forget about your heartache and your sorrow. That's how I thank God for Tansy doing such a magnificent job this morning. And if we listen to the message that the man of God was saying, we got to learn how to ask the Lord to help some of these things that are causing us struggle to help us. Say, God, just stop it right now. Help me look up to the hill so I know that that's where my help comes from. Anybody need some help this morning? Now, I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. Thanking God for being in the midst of a people that even on the sick bed, they can love you enough to call you on the telephone and say, Rev, I fixed a pot of neck bones and I wonder, did you want any? Girl, bring them neck bones on over here. I say, you know, you got some problem with your back. I'll come out there and get them if I need to. She said, no, I'm going to bring them to you. So I got in the living room and I was on the lookout because I didn't want her to have to get out of the car. Somebody love you enough to get up with a hurting body, hurting worse than you hurting, and to fix something. She heard that I like neck bones, so she made sure I got some. I tell you what, I ate them neck bones as soon as she got out the door. Thought I was going to save some for later, but I just ate them all up right there. You better believe I'm going to see her today. People are good to you. You better be good back. There are some of us sit so high and we're so selective that I don't want no neck bones. I don't eat neck bones. Well, I eat neck bones. Now don't bring me none if you don't know what to do with them. That's why I don't fix them. I don't know what to do with them. I cook all the flavor out of mine. But I thank God for where we come from. I thank God for the people that we are today. And I hope and pray that we are instilling some of these things into our people and letting our children know that God will make a way. Remind them that God made a way for us, and God have opened some doors that we didn't get a chance to go through, but you have an opportunity, so don't sit back and miss your opportunity. We are strong people, and we got to help to preserve and know that there are something that come only by prayer. In this time in which we are living now, it's going to take a lot of prayer to make it. You can do all the fussing and all the complaining that you want to do, but you better go down on bended knees. And let me educate somebody to know that you don't have to get on bended knees to talk to God. Some of us know that our kneecaps are wore out already, and you can't get down on your knees no how. So you got to talk to God somehow or another. Anybody lay in the bed and talk to God? Sometimes you can be washing the dishes and talking to your God. Sometimes if you're cooking your dinner, you ought to be talking to God. You always ought to have a conversation with the Lord. I remember, and I thank God for my heritage. I thank God for Reverend Harvey Lanier that used to sing that little song, Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Now, that was his favorite song to sing because every now and again, you ought to have a little talk with the Master. He is the one that he is. He is the one that can do whatever needs to be done. And when it comes to prayer, there are no specifics. We can pray about anything. But the key is having faith that God can and will do whatever it is that we ask. Now be mindful that it is not in it. If it's not in his will, it might not happen. But we need to ask God to do the things that we want to have done and know that in his own time, it will come to pass. The Bible declares men should always pray and pray without ceasing. Meaning no matter what the consequences may be, before anything else, we ought to pray to God anyway. But when they say it don't take all of that and it looks like all hope is gone, that's a time to keep on praying. When you go to the doctor and they can't diagnose your situation, that's a time to keep on praying. When you hear that some young boy or some young girl that just got run over or just got shot, that's a time to keep on praying. Because you look at it and you think about it, it could have been my child. But don't be so happy that it wasn't your child that you can't pray for somebody else. Because that man or that boy, that girl that had been run down, they got a mother or father somewhere that's hurting down on the inside. You might not even know the family. You might not know them by name. But when you hear about it, you ought to go to God right then in prayer. We're living in a time when things are very rough for some folk, and some folk can't take the pressure. So we got to pray for those that are weaker than we are. The strong must bear the infirmities of the weak. Today, all I want to do is share with you how powerful prayer can be. And for those that may not know or understand that prayer is just mere words. You don't have to have a fancy rhythm. You don't have to pray like nobody. You don't have to be fancy with the way that you talk to your God. I wonder this morning how many of you had a talk with God before you got into the house. See, so some of us got a mindset that the only time we give God praise or have the Lord on our mind is on Sunday after we get in church. And then after we get out of church, we got our minds on everything else. But I found out that when you get the benediction, that's a time to start praying. Because the enemy is going to try to take everything that you got. Now, I know that this Super Bowl Sunday, some of you got meatballs simmering in the pot right now. But I want to let you know them meatballs ain't going nowhere. I want to let you know that I look at enough television to know the kickoff ain't the 6:30. So all that other stuff is just preliminary. You don't have to be there to see all of that. It's going to be what it's going to be. But don't miss the message thinking about what you're going to do after church. I need your attention right now. I need somebody praying for me right now. I need somebody talking to your God right now. Do I have any help in the house this morning? Or am I in here all by myself? I see a whole lot of folk, but where am I help at? Prayer, prayer. There was a time when the deacons were called the prayer band, had power, got to have some power, got to pray to God and ask the Lord to help, not only in your house, but in God's house. Taking on the responsibility to help run the ministry of God, you got to talk to God to know what to do. You got to talk to God to have the right attitude to deal with the people of God. I didn't come to sugarcoat nobody this morning. This might be my last time standing before you. So I got to tell it like God tell me to tell it. If you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, take it up with God. Pray about it. And the Lord will help you understand better by and by. Do I have a witness in the house this morning? Anybody come to give God praise? Or are you just here because it's your time to be here? Prayer. An earnest request or petition. And communicating with God by faith. Worship, confession, praise, thanksgiving. It is a request in our own words of what we need or want God to do. We teach our children how to pray, or we should. Because there are times when you can't be with them. So you got to teach them that they serve a mighty God. A God that will be with them on the highway, in the classroom, everywhere that they go. We got to let them know that when times get rough, that's the time that you may not see me, but I'm praying that God will make a way. We got to know that God is a way maker. It has been said that prayer is the key to the kingdom, but faith unlocks the door. You got to believe in what you're asking God to do, that God is able and that he will do it. So prayer and faith goes hand in hand. In our text this morning, we want to talk about a man by the name of Daniel who was captured and carried off to Babylonian, and he was able to interpret dreams. He was a very special man because God blessed him with some things that allowed him to be elevated to a place high, even in a foreign land, allowed him to have favor with the king and serve the royal throne. Daniel had also correctly interpreted the handwriting on the wall as he let the king know that there was going to be a warning that you're going to have a downfall. Now, as we look here in the 6th chapter, he served under a king by the name of Darius. It said that he set him over the kingdom and he had 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, there were presidents, and Daniel was first, and the prince made gave him according to the thing that the king should have no damage. In other words, he had enough help around him that he would not experience any loss. You know how it is when you got, you want to protect what you got, and you don't want nobody to take what it is that you have. So King Darius realized that I can't do it all by myself. So I need some help around me. And he had all of these people around him, but he found out that there were some things that they could not do. But there was one man in the midst of him by the name of Daniel. Daniel had a very special gift, and because of Daniel's gift, there were many that was jealous of Daniel. There are many that hated Daniel because Daniel seemed to come in out of nowhere and found a very special place with the king. You know how it is sometimes when you think that you ought to have that promotion and somebody came in after you and they get that spot you've been waiting on. And you get a little wind in your jaw. You almost get ready to quit, but you say, I'm going to hold on for a little while longer because I need my job. And you got to realize that jealousy is going to get you nowhere. All you got to do is stop hating just because they got the position. That don't mean that there's not one waiting on you. See, sometimes you got to look at it like this. That wasn't for you, but God got something greater. Anybody know that there's something greater? Anybody know that as Leslie sang the song, there is a blessing with your name on it? That particular position didn't have your name on it, but God got one waiting just for you. It's been designed and been crafted out just for you, and you're going to fall right into place like, this is where I really ought to be. Now, there's going to be somebody that's going to hate you because you got that position. I thank God for this man by the name of Daniel. But Daniel believed in the power of a loving God. Daniel was a God-fearing man. Daniel was a man that prayed to God three times a day. And he knew what it was to communicate with God. Somebody said that when you talk to God, he ought to be able to recognize your voice. He ought to be done heard you pray sometime or another. Hey, have you ever talked to your God? Oh, and you the one that said, somebody prayed for me. Now, somebody prayed for me, but there come a time that you got to pray for yourself. You got to know that prayer works. The Bible says, the Bible reads here that the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find any occasion nor any fault because Daniel was a man of integrity. He was faithful, and neither was there any error or fault found in him. They were looking for something. See, I got to find a way to bring Daniel down. Daniel done come in here, and Daniel done got elevated over everybody else. He's the first one that the king calls for. He's the first one that the king want to hear from. We got to find a way to get Daniel to break Daniel down. You know how it is sometimes when folk will dig down into your history and go into your closet and start pulling out those skeletons, try to mess up your good thing, and they don't like it because you're blessed like that. So they're going to find something. If nothing else, they'll slander your name. And the thing about that is, once it get out there, there's some folk gonna believe it even if it's a lie. But look at Daniel. They couldn't find any fault in Daniel. They couldn't find anything that Daniel was doing that would discredit him. So they began to put their heads together. You know how it is when you're gonna make a plot. You can't come up with the idea all by yourself there, so you're going to go over there and talk to your son, boo. So now we got to watch Cade. We got to figure out what is the Cade doing when he get out of church that'll help us bring him down. So they're plotting against Daniel. And they realize that, you know what? We can't find anything on the surface, but one thing I know about Daniel, he loves God. So if I can get anything against him and his God, then that will make Daniel come down. The Bible reads, all you got to do is read it for yourself. It said, then said these men, we should not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Who is your God? Sometimes if your God is your car, all they got to do is crack your window and they done broke you up right there. Who is your God? They lived in a time when there were too many people serving idol gods, and there were too many people that had turned their back on the one true living God, but not Daniel. Daniel realized that I love God, and I'm going to do what the Lord God wants me to do. So these presidents and priests assembled themselves together, and they went to the king. You know how sometimes when somebody is in a high position, and you push them all the way up on top of the pedestal, make them feel good all about themselves. Make them feel like they're nobody like you. For the Bible declares here that the presidents and the kingdoms, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and all of the captains consulted together, meaning they got their heads together, and they went to the king and said, you need to make a royal statue. You need to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god. So they didn't, you know, this decree didn't just have Daniel in mind. Now they got everybody involved, because even though they served idol God, they couldn't talk to their idol God. They couldn't talk to the true one living God. And the Bible declared that they couldn't talk to no man and ask him for any advice. I couldn't go to Carlton and ask him nothing. The Bible says, O King, if they do that and you write the decree, that individual will be cast into the den of lions. Now the king established the decree. He signed it in writing that it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it could not be altered. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree, because they began to let the king know that you are so special. Oh, King Darius, live forever. You're the greatest king we ever had. I know that you're a good king because you've been good to all of the kingdom. And I want you to make this decree. And this king had the audacity to write that decree. Now, Daniel heard about the decree. Daniel realized that the writing had been signed. The Bible declared that Daniel still went into his house. See, don't let nobody tell you what you can do in your house. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't talk to your God. I want to let you know that there are times when you don't have to worry about that a house that you live in, but that temple that shields the spirit and the power of a loving God. But even though they took prayer out of the school, that don't mean that your children can't pray in their mind. You got to let them know that you can still talk to the power of a loving God. So the Bible declared that Daniel went into his house. And he sat down at the window being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day. Daniel prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. So Daniel is a man that no matter what they say, Daniel had his mind made up that I'm going to pray to God anyway. You got to learn that no matter what comes up in your life, you got to still talk to God, and you got to ask the Lord for whatever it is that you want him to do. When stumbling blocks get in your way, don't stop praying. When those that are against you, the haters and the naysayers, don't stop praying. When somebody plots some things against you, you got to trust the power of a loving God. I can see Daniel now sitting there on his knees in his house. He's talking to God and saying, oh, Lord, my God, I want to thank you for another day's journey. I believe he said, Darius said that I couldn't talk to you. But Darius didn't make me from the dust of the ground. Darius didn't wake me up this morning. Darius didn't give me the breath that I breathe right now. So I'm going to open up my mouth and talk to the power of a loving God. I'm going to do the thing that I've always done. I'm going to talk to God despite the decree. But the Bible declared that somebody was watching Daniel. They began to watch and they heard Daniel talking to God. Don't you know you always got somebody that'll run back and tell it on you? Anybody know about any snitches in here this morning? Somebody will snitch you out and turn you in. Somebody will say they told you not to do it, but I hear that Daniel is still doing what he's been doing. Daniel still talking to the power of a loving God. So they went and found the king and said, "Oh, king, I want to let you know that your boy Daniel is not obeying your command. I want to let you know that Daniel's a hard-headed man. I told you if you go against Daniel's God, you will see the true spirit of who Daniel really is." They began to say, "We got to put Daniel in the lion's den." You know, this stirred the king because the king loved Daniel. But you got to realize that when you put your mouth on something, when you write something down in writing, he had to stick to what he said. It bothered him back on the inside. He realized that I done made a decree that no man can talk to their God. No man can talk to any other man or ask him any petition. But I hear that my boy Daniel had been talking to God. They answered and they said, "Oh, king, Daniel is the children of the cavity of Judah. Regardeth not what you have said," and he's making petitions not only one time a day. But I realize that Daniel talking to God three times a day. Don't you know they ought to have been somewhere minding their own business? They ought to have been somewhere praying to God for themselves. But they were more worried about what Daniel was doing. But I'm so glad to know a man that stood the test of time. I'm glad to know a man that no matter what nobody else says, that you got a mind that I'm going to talk to the Lord. Is there anybody in the house this morning that realized you got to talk to God for yourself? The king realized that I heard what you said, and I'm displeased down on the inside, but I got to do what I got to do. But the Bible said, they said these men besimmered themselves with the king and said, "Oh, king, what are you going to do now? Don't you know it's the law of the Medes and the Persians that once you make a decree, it cannot be changed? So you got to stick to what you said that you were going to do." But look at what the king said. He said, "The king commanded, and they brought Daniel to him." He said, "Cast him into the den of lions." But now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest, thou God whom thou serve, who you serve continually, I believe that he will deliver you." Don't you know Daniel been around the king so long that even though the king had to throw him into the line of death, the king realized that he served a mighty God. And something had rubbed off on the king, for the king realized that God that Daniel talking about, I believe that that God will deliver Daniel. I know, Daniel, if you go in the line of death, everything is going to be all right, because the God that you serve, he is a mighty God. The God that you serve, he'll make a way out of no way. I heard that the God that you serve opened up the Red Sea, allowed the children of Israel to walk across dry ground. I heard that the God that you serve seen a deaf man and made him hear again. I know that God will make a way out of no way. Don't you know, when you go in the den of a hungry lion and you got to realize that lion begin to smell that flesh, that lion get an appetite and say, "I got some good meat in the den this morning." But I'm so glad that Daniel had the power of God. Daniel had already talked to God about the matter, and the lion didn't touch Daniel at all. The Lord our God touched up the mouth of the lion. The Lord our God took the appetite away from the lion. The lion couldn't do Daniel no harm. But the Bible declares that early in the morning, you see, in the midnight hour, the king could not get any sleep because he was worried about his friend Daniel. He was talking and talking. He could talk to whoever he wanted to talk to. And he said, "I hope Daniel gonna be all right. I know that Daniel's in the hand of a mighty God, and I'm trusting that Daniel's gonna be all right. But I know that the lions are furious. I know that the lion might eat him up and tear him all to pieces, but I'm going to trust the power of Daniel's God." The Bible declares that the king said when he came to the place, he walked around all night long. Anybody in here ever had a problem that you had in your life and you couldn't get any rest at night? You laid there and pondered and you talked to God. Say, "Lord, I want you to make a way out of no way. Lord, I'm tired of suffering and going through." And the Lord God is hearing your humble cry. But then the king came to the door early in the morning, the word, and he came in haste, went to the den, to the gate of the den of the lions. And when he got there, he began to say with a voice The Bible declares the voice of Laban. He had some sorrow in his heart. He went to the door where they had Daniel in the den. And I can hear him now, if you allow me to use my spiritual imagination. Daniel, Daniel, is everything all right? Daniel, I believe it's going to be all right. I want to know, Daniel, is everything good with you now? And Daniel spoke up, said, "Oh, King, live forever. Everything's all right. I serve a mighty God, and there's no harm to my body. I serve a God that can do anything. I serve a miracle worker. I serve a God that has power, not only over man, but he got power over the animals, because the God that I serve, he made the lions and the tigers. He made the bears and the dogs. And I'm so glad that my God has all power. I believe that the king had never praised God before, but the king got happy. Say, I'm so glad that my friend Daniel is all right now. Come on out, Daniel. Everything is all right now. I'm so glad. In other words, I know that everything is all right, and I don't care what nobody says. Don't stop praying. Keep trusting in the power of your God, and God will deliver you. All you got to do is have faith, walk upright, and have that same integrity that Daniel had. You see, you got to go in knowing that you're going to come out all right. When you go and you stand and they put you out and knock you out cold and sleep, you don't know whether you're going to wake up or not. But every believer that goes under the hand of a knife or any of the modern stuff, you know, they got some new stuff now. And they don't have to cut you for everything. But when they put you out, I believe that every believer, just before they give them that last shot to knock them out, say, "Lord, I know you're going to be with me. Watch the doctor. Take care of me while I'm out. And when I wake up, I'm going to still know that you are my God." And somehow, some way, everything is going to be all right. Now, do know you may suffer for a while, but suffering days will soon be over. When I think of what Jesus did for us, as we prepare to break bread together, we got to remember that he's the same God that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.